Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I am so excited about this episode because just this morning, I was writing on Instagram about belonging and building community. I'd gotten a question from a woman asking, how do you find women who love Jesus to develop relationship with them? And I was saying how you gotta go out there and put yourself out there. They're not just gonna come drop in your lap. So you need to step out and then also learn to stay in. And today we're gonna talk about that and a lot more. We're gonna talk about this concept of belonging. What is that? How do you figure out how to belong? How do you build belonging into your life? And I have Chris and Julie Bennett. They are the authors of Fighting for Family, The Relentless Pursuit of Building Belonging, here in studio today from California. And I have loved just getting to know you guys just a little bit before we started. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your story. How did this book come to be?
Crystal, thank you for having us. It just worked out unbelievable that we're here in Franklin.
Yeah,
and
such an honor.
Thank you for making room for us. It's an honor. We love Franklin. It's beautiful. We live in Malibu, which is not the ugliest place, but Franklin is lovely. Our story is throughout the book, but Julie and I have been married 23 years, been married 25 years, and we have four kids. We have a 20-year-old, we have an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and then a 12-year-old. So three boys and a girl. And so, yeah, we met really in college. We're both graduates of Baylor University. Fun fact is our 18-year-old is a freshman playing quarterback at Baylor. And That's been a full circle, you know, moment for us. But we stepped into marriage and ministry and school, and we took on way too much at the beginning of our marriage. And we really began to very quickly kind of unravel when we started going through a lot of pain points at the beginning of our marriage, which kind of led us to a season of healing and restoration and getting out of ministry. And, you know, you kind of fast forward the stories. We ended up planting a church in Norman, Oklahoma that we pastored for nearly a decade. And then 2018, through a series of very loud, clear, obvious ways, all we can say is God led us to uproot, to move our family to Los Angeles. And so we moved there without a home, without a job, with four kids, and just a real sense of purpose. And ultimately, we were going because we wanted to use media as a platform to champion the message of family. And so we moved to LA, met a family right away that was kind of empty nesters that said, hey, come live with us while you guys sell your house in Oklahoma. And our plan was, we'll sell that house. It'll take a couple weeks. It was under contract. We'll use that money to kind of give us a 6-month on-ramp to get settled and established. And then as life often is, we took some crazy, unexpected turns.
Yeah. So we were excited to be adventurous family. And then life gave us no choice but to be a brave one. And so, you know, however many weeks, a few weeks into LA, we were waiting for that house to close. Well, last minute, they backed out on our house. So we found ourselves in LA with no home. So six of us and eight suitcases, our stuff in storage somewhere in Texas. Side note, they did try and steal all of our belongings. So add that to the mix.
That was a bummer. That was a real bummer.
That was like, you know, hey, I really don't know where these same sweats for the next year. I'd like my stuff back. And then I had a troubling lump, if you will, under my right armpit. If you rewind, so this is September 2018. We had moved to LA, and in July of 2018, I just had a itch under my arm, and I thought that doesn't feel great. It actually doesn't hurt. That, you know, as women, we kind of know the rules with the things we need to be aware of. And I thought, usually it's sore. It's probably nothing. I'm only, 38, 39 at the time. And fast forward a couple months, right before about to move, I thought, this has grown a lot. I need to go to the doctor. What was crazy is I could not get into the mammogram ultrasound. The doctor's like, I don't know why I can't get you an appointment. I can normally push these things through. We need to get you in. I said, listen, I'm about to move to LA. I will just take care of it there. So again, now back to the story where we are in LA, contract falls through on the house. We do not want to overstay our welcome. That we had been, you know, we'd been there 6 weeks. Those 2 weeks turned into 6 weeks. And I get the biopsy. And then the next day, after telling this family, it is time for us to go, We are so grateful. I found out I have stage 3 breast cancer. I need to start chemo within 2 weeks, very quickly. So we had a real choice to make. Like, what are we going to do? People already thought we were a little crazy for coming, and now they really think we're crazy. Like, your family, community's here, your home. Yeah.
And I think one of the values we've always had as a family is we take risk and adventure. Mm-hmm. And again, those things sound really good until then you're in a moment. And I think we had one of those moments where we said, okay, we made a huge leap to move out here. Now we're facing a lot of adversity. How are we going to respond? I remember sitting with Julie in the car and I was the one saying, hey, babe, we have a home in Oklahoma. We have community and family. Do we just go back? And she was very clear. She said, we're supposed to be here. And I didn't have I didn't find out I had cancer in Oklahoma because we never would have come.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those moments for us and what we believe in our faith of, hang on, I've now found myself like, do I really even believe anything that we said we did or we've preached about or talked about or read? Like, and it was a real moment for us. And what we would say, there's, the Bible talks about memorial stones. Mm-hmm. It's in the Old Testament. And, God does all these miracles. And it was like this reminder to me of like, the only reason I could say yes to staying was God never promises that it's going to be easy. That's very clear. We're all going to suffer. It is all going to be hard. Life is hard. Like, it's very hard and it's very messy and it's very unpredictable. What is not unpredictable is the character of God. And I knew that because I had lived it. It wasn't a good idea. It wasn't a sermon bite. It was like, the only thing I know when everything is falling apart is that the character of God's always stayed the same. So I'm going to hang my hat on that. These memorial stones of like, because I might forget, because this is about to get really hard if we choose to stay. We chose to stay. We moved 20 times in 6 months. While I was doing chemo in those same suitcases, definitely burned those couple pairs of sweats that I wore over and over again and those beanies on my bald head. But it formed something in us. Our yes formed something in us that changed us. And it's this paradox of life where I'm like, I wish I never had cancer. Of course not. I battled it twice. It came back in 2020 when COVID hit and I was in a fight for my life. But, you know, I would say that like, but I also wouldn't trade it for anything. And I'm like, how did those hold space together in life? But they just can, because they can be the making or the breaking of you. And those are those choices that we get in life. And so same thing in our marriage, like, and we write about these stories in the book, but there was a massive betrayal at the beginning of our marriage. You know, I chose to have an affair a year or two. I had a lot of brokenness, a lot of abuse in my background that I thought I had worked through, but I hadn't. And our pains rear their ugly heads, you know, at some point. Again, I look now at the redemption of where we're at, which is not everyone's story. And we understand that. But I kind of go same thing. I wouldn't trade the hard, because I've seen the character of God come through for us. So, and again, our yes, speaking of belonging, our yes to stay in LA taught us what we thought we knew about belonging and building community in a way that we needed it. Like, it changed me forever. I thought I knew about community. And then I had been so painfully hurt by it. I thought, never again. And now I'm forced to go, I don't know if I can walk through this alone, but it's really scary.
That's so good. And I was thinking, okay, there's so many questions that I have, but the first one that came to mind is, you said this, yes, there was a huge risk and you didn't know anything. Like, where are you going to live? How are you going to walk through this? And you have kids too.
Yeah.
Like, how did you process that with your kids? Because I think sometimes for us, you know, maybe we can process that ourselves, but when we're walking through it with our kids too, that's a big thing to figure out. How do we walk this well?
And especially when your kids are different ages and stages and
personalities
and maturities. And, you know, even in our choice to move to LA, although mom and dad made that obviously like final call and decision, we brought all of our kids in who were 14, I can't remember, you
down
know,
to
12 and down to 7. And it was, everybody gets to have a voice. Mm. Everybody gets to share how they feel. We have to give space for that. And again, I thought I was doing that well as a mom. I think I would have been kind of proud of that. And then we moved to LA and all the crap hits the fan. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Actually, we weren't as vulnerable as we thought we were. I actually controlled a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of a control freak, which mm-hmm. was my own issue. Because that's how I thought I kept myself and my family safe, which that's another podcast for another time, but, it just doesn't work. And so creating that space for them to have a voice, even to move like, well, I feel like this is really good for us, but I'm really scared. And like, instead of like turning those emotions and those feelings and explaining it away, just letting it sit and mm-hmm. breathe. And that's how they acclimated the most. So
yeah,
cancer.
I think fighting for family, that essence is sometimes you're fighting just for space and time yeah. and to everyone to have a voice. And I think because of the nature of a big decision, as Julie said, we tried to bring our kids into it because even though we didn't know how hard it was going to be, we knew we were stepping into the unknown mm-hmm. and we that's wanted good. Them to have a resolve in their heart. And something I used to always tell our church in Oklahoma that sounds really good and like a tweet or like a sermon soundbite was, you know, if God invites you into something, just say yes before you know how. And so that's where we started. We started with a yes. And, you know, God, we found kind of gives you incremental clarity. And I think actually that was one of the coolest things that happened was a month after we moved to LA, this guy tracked me down from Oklahoma, found my number, and basically just said, I don't know if you remember me, but I woke up at 4 a.m. to pray for your family. And I felt God gave me a word to give to you. And he said, it's your faith that led you to LA, but it's your trust that's going to keep you there. Mm. And he said a few other things, but I remember thinking, oh, that's nice and encouraging, tucked it away. And then boom, cancer hits 20 moves. And I would just go back again and again and again. And we felt from a faith perspective, it was an invitation to trust. And you know, it's again, easy to say, but when you have no money and no home and you feel like your life's out of control, our experience became that we were fighting for our own family, but then we found other people that were fighting for us because we met strangers through a local community that began to open up their homes and kind of that phrase of strangers that became friends, it became like family to us. And so it was a family affair, but I'll say this, as painful as it was, and Jules didn't even mention this, she was in remission for a year, cancer came back more aggressive in 2020. All of our kids, we never had a moment where they were angry at us or questioning our move, because I think there was a resolve before we came. Now, they had a million other questions that we were working through, but I think, wouldn't you say, Jules, there was a real resolve with our fam?
Yeah. I mean, but you've got one kid who is angry and just wants to punch a wall. You have another one who is so scared that he would ask me every day, you're not going to die though, right, Mom? Like, you're not going to die. I mean, he was like 12 at the time. He wasn't 4, you know, and I had another son that tried to sleep by my bed every night. Mm-hmm. And then I had one that dealt with major anxiety. Mm-hmm. So you have multifaceted, which as adults, our marriage, like I react, I'm like intense and loud and, you know, like need to tone it down half the time. And he is the most chilled person, but can, you know, react different ways, you know, so it may be passive in something. And so just in our adult relationships and our friendships, we're all reacting yeah. differently to this whole, you know, journey of life, this pilgrimage, which a pilgrimage is many journeys tied together. So these different journeys of life that we're on, we're all responding differently. Our kids do that. Our coworkers do. Our coaches that are, you know, leading our kids on their teams, like everyone's responding differently. And we're like, okay, I really need to belong. But how are we going to do that when we are all so uniquely bringing so many different things to the table? So much of fighting for family is how do I create space for others? And I've learned that I can't create space for others if I don't create space in my own heart mm-hmm. and life to breathe and to be a mess and to mm-hmm. not be okay. I have to learn to not be okay at times so that I can be okay, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I was thinking that when you moved and you left all your community, you had to basically start over from square one, but you're mm-hmm. starting over in this very vulnerable, needy space, which yeah. is, that's hard to be.
Yeah.
Like it's hard, especially it sounds like you probably have a personality and I got this from the book of it. Yeah. You like to be the one maybe that's helping everyone
yes.
else.
Yes.
And so how did you allow yourself to be needy? What did it look like to take those steps yeah. to build that community and that belonging from the ground up?
Yeah, it was really freaking hard. It was really, really hard. Yes, I did mention this in the book of just, you know, perfectionism and control. I didn't realize were so prominent in my life Probably because I spent a lot of times helping others not be that way. And the irony is that while I am the most like compartmentalized junkie, I could tell you if you are, but here I am like surviving without being fully conscious that I'm surviving. And I'm doing that by, and again, we compartmentalize some things because that's in really dangerous situations and we need to do that. And it's important. We all, you know, we know that there's things that our bodies and our minds and our hearts do in situations that that's a good thing. But then when you go through this and I'm like, I only know one way and I've been really hurt and now I'm in a new city and I need people, but I'm not sure if I want people, but I need people. And I've lived my whole life saying this is the most important thing. And so I found myself being invited to a group of 14 women. Now, first of all, trigger, 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 14 women. Like how about three or two, or maybe just one over coffee. And, it was the day I found I had cancer and I knew these women were awesome and I'd heard great things and I had met some of them and I'm like, I'm going tonight. And he's like, you just found out you had stage 3 cancer. We don't even know if we're staying. I'm like, I'm going. And I describe it in the book, like I'm putting all my self-protection on. I've got my backpack of self-protection just in case I need to abort. And I found myself without, you know, I could spend an hour on this story, but I found myself when I think of fighting for family and belonging and the things we need, they became a sheltering tree for me. Really the acts, you know, like these principles in the book we talk about, like I found myself learning about healthy boundaries. I found myself with women who believed different. You know, we would rally around certain things that were very common. We're talking like women all over different places, Australian, English, like African, like so many women. We had different theologies, political things, what we thought about the vaccine. I mean, we're talking like it shouldn't work. Why did it work? It worked because there was space. Going back to the space, whether that's your own personal space or when you're with groups of people or especially women, I found myself going, this worked for me and it works in this group because we're allowing each other, there's boundaries. And if we, betrayal is a really strong word. Let's say there's conflict. It's like there was enough love for one another and the differences that we were able to like come together. I'm not all BFFs with those women now, but I would probably, you know, lay down my life for them. Like, and that's another thing. Nobody forced me to be something for them. I could give nothing to them. I felt like for about 3.5 years. Now they may say different, but I'm like, I got nothing to give. I'm a mess. And they gave me, when I had no inches to give, so I said in the book, they gave me their inches and they let me break. I was afraid. I didn't know. I'm a big personality and I'm like, I don't want to be too much. I was really good at managing myself for other people's sake. And they let me go, we don't need you to manage here, Julie. And it was because there was an embracing of the differences and they encompassed like, yeah, the principles that make belonging. They brought belonging to me. I brought belonging by just showing up.
And I think that that's the first step. Like you have to show up. And when you got that diagnosis and you're there and you don't know anybody, probably, you know, you said, I'm going to show up, but there, you could have come up with 100 different excuses why not to show up. And I'm sure it was awkward. And you talk in the book about, you know, how you're sitting there and trying to pretend like everything's good. And then all of a sudden you're just kind of blurt out.
I'll just lose it. Yeah.
And I love that you just, instead of, you could have pretended that whole night that everything's okay, but you didn't. You let yourself not only show up, but then be honest as you showed up. And I feel like that's what really then turned into this amazing sort of experience for you. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all 5 of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last 2 biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for, and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, oh, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service, and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing. You go on their website, and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style. And you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes. I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for. And then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I think there's probably a lot of people listening saying, well, I would love to have that, but sure, you don't understand. Like there's no women in my community who would even be like that. They just all, I feel like I've tried and they don't want to have deeper relationships. Mm-hmm. And also I feel like I'm always the one that is instigating, inviting. And then what happens is I feel like I'm just giving out and no one's giving back to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, bringing belonging is taking a risk, and risks are true. They're unpredictable. Risk in life, whether it's moving your family to LA and people are like, that's not a wise risk, right? There could be lots of those different aspects around it, but risk is what it is. It is unknown and it's scary, and sometimes it doesn't work. But that's the choice of fighting for a family. What we know is that, like, what we can all relate around is that we've all been a mess, or we're all a mess. It doesn't mean we're not thriving, right? We can still have messy parts and still be thriving, and that's a part of it. And so there was a story when we were sitting, we had a group of singles around and we were just asking questions and learning. I mean, we were married at 21. I don't know what it's like to be single. And we were talking about belonging and what do singles need? And this, and some are like, we feel like in communities and different spaces, or sometimes in the church, like marriage is elevated above all else. And we always kind of feel like we're less than, and we're having this conversation. And a girl, she has this mic drop moment. She says, belonging is not something you find, it's something you bring. And I was like, hang on. So to your question, that risk of bringing it, I think for me, I saw a shift when I stopped expecting me out of other people. And so I'm pursuing and it's hard. And I was like, right, but you're always expecting them to be and do like you are. And so then you always feel left out. You always feel like something lacking. So it was just a little thing that I keep in the back of my mind, stop expecting you from them. And when I stopped doing that, so many times I felt like I belonged more because I was meeting them where they are. I was seeking to understand them before being understood. So some of my feeling left out was because I didn't understand the season they were in or who they were. So just a little practical. I don't know if you have something to add.
And you mentioned something, Chris, before we started recording about like that inner belonging, like you have to understand that. I'd love for you to unpack that a little bit because I think that that is so powerful because we really cannot belong like corporately until internally we understand what it's like to belong.
Yeah, for sure. And just to start with kind of something interesting is Robert Putnam, who's a Harvard scholar and wrote a book called Bowling Alone. He said recently that 40% of American adults have 0 to 1 confidant. And then the U.S. Surgeon General last May released an 85-page document, and the title was Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. And so there's this false sense of connection because we can have people around us. We can feel connected through social media. And look, there's amazing things about that. We can reach people anywhere, at any time. But it's not getting to the longing of the actual human heart. And so I think this idea of belonging is that if you don't believe you belong, which to me, you know, I know these phrases get thrown around, but self-love, self-worth, whatever you want to call it. But if you don't actually believe you're worth belonging, then you just perpetuate that sense of loneliness wherever you go. And I've seen people do that where they're almost just waiting to be rejected. And that's a real feeling because maybe that was their experience before. But this church that I pastor in Malibu had a really interesting story that just helped us with this. Is this lady was single. She's in her late 40s, never been married, doesn't have kids, and was coming to our church week after week. And we talk a lot about being a family and belonging and welcome home and all the cool, you know, taglines churches say nowadays.
Which can be a trigger for a lot of people.
And she and I met for coffee, and she'd been trying to get with me. And so we sat down together, and she said, I came for several weeks, and after church on Sunday, everyone was talking to each other and they had their little groups. And she goes, and I decided I'm going to stay in the middle of the room and I'm going to see if anybody talks to me. And she said, and not one person came up to me. And so I went home. And what most people would have done is said, forget the church. I hate the church. They're hypocritical. All those things that oftentimes are true. But she said, I went back and I prayed and I felt that God led me to said, he said, go find every person who looks and feels like you and go bring them in. Mm. And so she started showing up and finding people who were alone, didn't have anybody. And that's to the point of what you're saying is our single friends have, and I hate to even say it that way, but our friends who don't have their own, you know, spouse and kids have taught us the most about it requires intentionality and stepping into that. So I think knowing your worth and then bringing that to the people around you.
Yeah. And when you bring that without having an agenda, which is hard to do because we're hurting and we need community because we feel lonely. We feel like we don't have a space to share and to process with. And so even back to what you're saying into your question, like you may not be a faith person. You may not go to church. This may be like your workspace, you know, this may be
something you work out.
The gym you work out in, your yoga, you know, like people are trying to find community everywhere. But there's something about that word agenda. Like I'm going to invite people to a space and I'm actually going to bring and give what I want so badly. Mm. And it maybe sounds really easy, but it's not. It's just this, I'm going to take one little step to building that.
I so agree with that. And I think for me, once I understood how much I was loved by God, then I wasn't trying to seek out that worth and value and love from others. Yeah. And so then I could just love people wholeheartedly. I could step into a situation not being like, what can I get, but what can I give? Yeah. And so I think that has really shifted my relationships because no longer was I seeking something from them, but honestly,
that's it.
Only God could give.
That's right.
For sure.
And so then I would all the time be disappointed because they could never be everything that I wanted them to be. But when I came like with this fullness of how much I'm loved by God, then I could just let that slosh over into other people and it just changed relationships.
And it's vulnerability. I mean, you know, I was, you know the phrase vulnerability breeds vulnerability and not vulnerable as it was a vulnerability that I learned. Again, I thought I was vulnerable and then I went through what I went through and I'm in this group of women and I thought I got nothing to lose. If I'm not myself, what's the point? I might as well stay home. If I'm playing a game and just managing myself, but there was a vulnerability. And I think that's part of the piece that's the scariest for people. But as you bring belonging, you're trying to create community. When we're able to go, this is who I am. I don't have it all together. I don't know what I believe right now. I don't know what I think about that. I'm hurting. That doesn't mean we air all of our dirty laundry. That's not what I'm saying. There may be spaces for that, but we describe it in the book like a home base. You think about hide and seek. You're trying to get to the home base and that's where you're safe. We all need home bases to come back to, you know, which is the heart of the book, is that these are principles. Like, we're hoping that fighting for family will be like the sheltering tree to help us, because out of betrayals, out of the harsh things of life and the messiness, we go, I don't know if I'm safe. So how do we bring our vulnerability to the table, to the place where we go, this is who I am. And other people go, oh, wow, if they can do it, so can I.
You were going to say something. I don't know if you remember what.
Yeah, I do. I just think again, I know this is not everybody's experience, but to me, Jesus modeled this unbelievably, is that he was fully loved by his Father. And so he brought that sense of love and belonging. And I remember hearing one person say, you know, Christianity isn't about belief as much as about belonging. You belong before you believe. And Jesus, one scholar says that he was killed for who he had dinner with, you know, mm-hmm. because he would sit down at the table with, quote, the outcast of society. And he's the one that leaves the 99 for the one. And I think he modeled that. And sometimes the church has, I think, misrepresented what he's actually like, where the church can become enamored with the crowd. And Jesus was always after the one mm-hmm. and bringing that place of belonging to those that didn't have it. Mm-hmm.
It was reminding me when you guys were talking about the woman who she created the space that she wanted to have. Just the other day, I was in a situation where I really didn't know hardly anyone, and everyone else seemed to have their groups mm-hmm. of people. And I was kind of just standing there, and this group of women, one woman, she said, I didn't know she knew my name, but she said, Crystal, come over here.
Wow.
And it was that moment of just, she said my name mm-hmm. and she invited right. me in. Mm-hmm. And it was just this, it meant so much to me, to my heart. And then she's like, do you know these women? And she's introducing me. And it was a simple thing. Probably she doesn't even remember that she did it. Mm. But in that moment, it reminded me how important it is for us to create those spaces for yep. people. And yep. so, you know, when we have the opportunity, use someone's name and yes. invite them yep. in, because you never know how much that could mean to them.
And I think one of the things even we talk about in the book that's so practical is, again, it can go to, well, where do you even start? And it could be take somebody to coffee, but hospitality actually means the love of the stranger. And I think sometimes hospitality, we think it's like, you got to have a cool house, amazing food, and people that I like to be around. But true hospitality is creating a space for people that don't have one. Mm-hmm. And so I think we found the table being this unbelievable place, not only in our own home with our kids, but when you invite, quote, a stranger or a person that you're just getting to know. We had our neighbor over recently, and just the unbelievable conversations that happen around food. There is something disarming about the table. There's something disarming about food and conversation. And so I would encourage anybody listening, that is a really easy step you can take. And it doesn't have to be a fancy meal, but invite somebody from work, invite somebody from your gym, somebody that maybe doesn't have a place to belong, and invite them over.
Mm. And you know what? I just feel a little bit of emotion now just thinking about the person, if you're listening, that feels so deeply lonely right now. And you're hearing this and you're like, yes, 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 but I'm tired. I want to take a risk, but I'm exhausted from my own heart and my own pain and all the things going in behind closed doors of my home that maybe no one knows. And I just want to say that it's okay that it's hard. It's okay that you feel lonely, and more people are relating to how you feel than you know. More people are struggling than you know. And sometimes belonging is just knowing that somebody feels like you do. So for what it's worth, everyone listening, I know what it's like to have a lot of people around you and people that love you, but to still feel alone inside because you don't know how to make sense of it. But I just want to say there is hope. I can say that because I've tasted it, and it's not easy, but keep fighting and taking risk. And I'm just believing that at the right time, there's going to be a pathway for you to know how much you are seen and known and loved, and that you're worth it.
That's beautiful. We're going to end with that because I couldn't say it better. And I have so much more that I'd love to ask you all, so much more that I wanted to get into the book, but I just really want to encourage everyone listening to go get a copy of Fighting for Family, The Relentless Pursuit of Building Belonging. If you want to build that in your own immediate family, in your extended family, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your church, wherever it is, to build that belonging, this book not only has stories that will encourage your heart, but also very practical steps for you to take to be able to build that deep sense of belonging. I love today's episode with the Bennetts, and I have to tell you, behind the scenes, they were just the kindest, most genuine people. And I could have talked to them for hours. I was so sad because I had a meeting right after the podcast, and so I didn't get to spend as much time with them as I would have loved to. I also wanted to let you know that we are launching a really exciting thing today. Yes, that's right. Today, if you're listening to the podcast on Tuesday, March 26th, the day that it launches, the day that it's going live, we are launching 10 Weeks to a More Organized Home. This is a resource that I feel like has been years and years in the making. For a long time on Instagram, on my blog, I would do these challenges with a simple task for cleaning or organizing or decluttering in your house. Well, this is that idea, only it's all packaged into this resource that you can download immediately, and it's 10 weeks. You're going to get 10 weeks of every single day, every single weekday, a simple task. And we set it up so that even if you only have 5 minutes, we have a condensed version where there's just a 5-minute task. If you have a little bit more time, we give you some extra projects that you can do. But over the course of 10 weeks, you're going to work through your entire house. And if you have kids, we also, you get a bonus 2 weeks added on that works through your kids' stuff, their activity stuff, whatever, you know, if they have sports, if you know, their clothes, their shoes, all the kid things, because we knew not everyone purchasing it was going to have kids. So we didn't want to have that as part of the 10 weeks. So we added it on as a bonus. So you actually get 12 weeks, but 10 weeks to a more organized home today. And for the next 3 days only is just $7.50. That's right. So go to the link in the show notes, check it out. And I hope that this helps you so much to be able to just get some space in your home and your life so that you can make room for, like what we were talking about earlier, to have people over, to invite people into your home, to feel comfortable doing that because you have more organization. Not that you have to have a really organized home in order to be able to invite people in, but I think that it makes it easier to be able to invite people in when you don't have so much clutter, when you have more organization, and when you just feel that space in your room and your heart to be able to breathe and invite people in. So check out the show notes. I hope you're able to get in on this great deal, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.